The JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody all over North America who's locked in and tuned in right now. You on the road from work. You're going to work. You're going home. You're at work. You're making money. You're relaxing. You're chilling. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You're chopping. Whatever the heck you're doing. Delivering. Thank you for being here. This is the final hour of the show. I get started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, on Peachtree Street. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Botch. He's in New York City, on Hudson Street. And thank you to you for being here, wherever you are, on the Free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM 375, and a smart speaker if you got one, or you got to do Ask It to Play. The Infinity Sports Network. And we've had a day. And right now we're having an evening. We're having a night. We got a preseason game going on. Joe Burrow is in action. Washington Commanders are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow's thrown a touchdown. Jaden Daniels rushed for a touchdown. There's no Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals. There's no Terry McLaurin. No, he's not available for Washington. They want money. We all know everybody wants money. Hey, thank you to Patricia Traynor for joining us to talk about the Giants. Taking a look at when we might see Jackson Dart. We talked about Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred is out here talking about realignment. We had a beatdown last night. At least this game is decent, dare I say, 14-all. Bears beat the Bills 38-0 last night. And we got more to do as we continue on with this show. You want to be a part? 888-710-4ISN. At the end, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And so we continue on. What a... Is that... Yeah, that's Josh... Damn. This really stinks. Botcher, these games suck for real.
They're good for about 5 minutes, and then you realize it's preseason.
Have you ever been to a preseason game?
I have. I went to a Jets-Eagles preseason game. It's got to be over 10 years ago already.
You stayed for the whole game. You just like, who the hell is this guy? It's one of those things.
It was, I probably stayed for 3/4 of it, and it was when Christian Hackenberg was on the team.
Oh, my God. So for the New York Jets, right?
Yeah, so it was like I think it was Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg were paying for them, and I didn't even know who was playing for the Eagles.
From Penn State, right? And Hackenberg from Penn State, I think?
Didn't get a single regular season start taken in the second round.
Yeah, wow. Damn. Yeah, I feel like a lot of these preseason games are the type of things where people just give the tickets away. I mean, tonight, I don't even know. If you're in Virginia, if you're in Maryland, are you driving out to see the Commanders tonight? Well, there are people there, so I guess the answer is yes.
I think it's different for the Bengals. Like, if it was not the Bengals and you knew that their starters were going to be playing at least a whole quarter, I would not go at all.
Well, people know Joe Burrow's playing. That might be one reason.
Also, found out Daniels is playing too.
Yeah, so hey, I get to see two star quarterbacks. It's not going to be a lot. Yeah, something better than nothing at this point. Damn. Yeah, you got it. You'd have to drag me to some of these games. Good luck on that one. Not happening. And even last night's get 38-0. I don't know. Here's a bright side, Botcher. Instead of us having four meaningless preseason games where nobody cares, now we got three. Right? That's better.
That's true. But sometimes it's still way too long, the preseason. From when the Hall of Fame game is to opening night, it just seems so far away.
Yeah, it does, right? Well, it used to feel longer than that. But at least we got some news. This guy, you will not see him in the preseason. There's a good possibility if he played in the preseason, his old ass would be hurt. They want to make sure if he's going to get hurt that it happens in a game that's worth something, and that's Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco has a job. A job that we all knew was coming. Take a listen to this, courtesy of CBS Sports HQ.
Oh, we have breaking news out of the NFL where the Browns have named Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. He beat out Kenny Pickett and rookies Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders for that QB1 job in Cleveland. The 40-year-old Flacco entering his 18th NFL season and his second stint in Cleveland. Last year, he started 6 games for the Colts, throwing 12 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Flacco will make his 2025 NFL debut on September 7th while they host the Bengals.
Yeah, Joe Flacco at this point, he's like a classic car. You don't want to start that sucker up until you are really ready to take it out. You start it up and then you stop it, you sit it there. The next time you really want it, it's going to take longer to get started. So, no, Joe Flacco is out here practicing. Joe Flacco is out here giving it a little bit of a whirl. We're not going to see this guy in the preseason. And in the regular season, come on now. Did anybody have any doubt? This is not like, and it's never been, Bacha, why was this like news today? This was what we knew was going to happen. It was never a quarterback competition.
Well, because everyone loves to just see what's going on with Shedeur Sanders and now Dylan Gabriel after what he said this weekend. So any small piece of news that can be made into a headline in a segment is going to be brought up.
For the Browns?
For the Browns. The Browns are going to be a horrible team. We all know it.
A great story.
It's just fun to watch. It's a train wreck.
Oh, a train wreck, yeah. Well, those are not good things, though. Those are bad things. Adam Schefter, and this is what, and I don't know, maybe they will. Andrew Berry has said it as well. They have Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. In my head, I'm going, they're going to be so bad. Why in the hell are you at least going to keep Kenny Pickett? Like, you can be bad without him and maybe get something in return. But then you take a look at Dylan Gabriel and you go, don't you want to see what you got out of him? I know he turned the ball over twice, okay, in the last game against the Eagles. And then you got Shedeur. You don't know what the hell he is. If you're the Browns, is it stupid to go from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur? It's not conventional. 2 rookie QBs right behind him. But, yeah, I think that'd probably be demoralizing for the team. Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, they have to go through every quarterback and every permutation imaginable before one of the rookies get the ball. They have to give Kenny Pickett a chance. And so Adam Schefter, he legitimately said on ESPN, they might keep all 4 QBs on this team.
Even though they named their starter today, we don't know the backup. I expect the Cleveland Browns to carry 4 quarterbacks.
So they will do that.
4 quarterbacks, wow, on their final 53-man roster. Whew. I expect they'll have 4 there. They're going to keep both rookies. They're going to keep Flacco. So we're really talking about Kenny Pickett.
What about Pickett?
And I expect he makes the roster because quarterbacks
What's
are currency.
Yeah, quarterbacks are currency. You think they're going to keep all 4? And if they don't, Botcher, they're going to get rid of Pickett. Watch.
Yeah, you can't, unless they trade one of the rookies. And I don't understand why you do that. You gave you a 3rd-round pick and a 5th-round pick. Unless you're getting anything better than those two, you're not moving them.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. Kenny Pickett is the odd man out, and he's just going to be the odd man in whatever NFL team he spends his the rest of his career with. I don't think Kenny Pickett is – it's one thing to be at Pitt and to get the ball and be able to run all over the place. I don't think he's athletic enough in the NFL to do so. So I think he's pretty much just kind of left in the pocket, and it's not like he's some phenomenal passer. The entire thing about Kenny Pickett coming out of college, unfortunately for him, people are like, oh, my God, his hands are so damn small. That poor guy. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Well, we still got this competitive game going on. Bengals 14, Commanders 14, preseason game. About 9 minutes to go in the first half. Jaden Daniels rushed for a touchdown. You got Joe Burrow, who's thrown for a touchdown. And then also, it's been reported that Trey Hendrickson, who we had mentioned here, he spoke to ESPN prior to the game. he said to Laura Rutledge that they are close in the amount of money per year, that they are close in the length of the contract, and what Trey Hendrickson wants right now from the Cincinnati Bengals is more guaranteed money past the first season. And so he still is not playing. Still doesn't have a deal. Still not at work. They're going to get something done. I can't imagine that that's not the case. 888-710-4IS. And speaking of getting something done, I think I found another reason to like Cam Ward. Outside of the fact that all the attention goes to Shador, I think even Dylan Gabriel has garnered more attention here in the offseason, especially with his comments over the weekend from than Cam Ward has. Cam Ward hasn't said anything. Like, you'd be hard-pressed, unless you're a Tennessee Titans fan, to even realize that Cam Ward exists. But earlier today at training camp, his own teammate, Jeffrey Simmons, and Cam Ward got into a little bit of a scuffle. Cam Ward threw a pass, scoring a touchdown to Calvin Ridley. He went to celebrate. He celebrated in front of Jeffrey Simmons, who promptly decided to shove him in the face mask. And then, of course, that prompted some of the other players to start shoving Simmons back, apparently knocking off his helmet. And so Cam Ward been talking trash and is out here backing things up. But I think what we all know is don't hurt the QB at all. Not on your own damn team. We saw last week Shamar Stewart, who just got drafted into the NFL, had his own contractual dispute with the Cincinnati Bengals. Shamar Stewart accidentally knocked down Joe Burrow, and his teammates didn't accidentally kind of shove him around. They intentionally kind of roughed him up, like, what are you doing? Okay? It's a complete other situation to now shove your quarterback in the face on purpose. He's talking trash. Bacha, do you remember Jeffrey Simmons? Was he not the guy talking crap to the reporter? Didn't he threaten a reporter last year?
Yes, the reporter was live on air, too. And he was mad about a comment I think he made just about his ethic or his contract situation. And he called him out right on the air.
Did he call him out or threaten him? He was on, yeah, well, guy was on the radio, right?
He cursed at him. He was live on his podcast or radio show. And he went up straight to the mic. He was like, let's settle this beef right now. And Jeffrey Simmons walked away.
Yeah, that's right. It was a radio host. Yeah. Yeah. Profanity laced verbal confrontation. Live from Titans practice. Simmons was reportedly upset about a social media post the host made regarding Simmons' actions during a scuffle in practice. How about this? Simmons later apologized for his behavior, stating it wasn't indicative of his character. So at what point in time? So he was criticized about a scuffle in practice, then had a scuffle with a radio host, and now is over here scuffling with his own quarterback? Like, what are we doing here?
That's a team captain right there. He's passionate.
Oh, man. You know what's pretty crazy? Oh, my God. There's a list of it. See, I didn't even know about this. He was arrested in high school? Did you know about this?
I had no idea about that.
You want to know why?
I'm going to assume it's a fight.
Oh, that's what it looks like. Oh, my God. In 2019, Jeffrey Simmons, drafted by Titans, arrested in high school on assault charge. Well, there you have it, Basha.
I think that was a football practice, too.
We're going to find out together. Prior to joining the NFL, he was arrested in March 2016 on charges of simple assault and disturbing the peace by fighting. Oh, my God. Oh, here we go. Basha, I found the worst part of this. Oh, my God.
Was he like a freshman?
A video showed Simmons striking a woman who was on the ground during an altercation involving his sister. Okay? All right, there we go. He later pled no contest to simple assault and was found guilty of malicious mischief. He was fined and ordered to pay restitution. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so, he was defending his sister in a fight, basically a street fight.
We don't know. I don't see the video. I can read what it says. A video showed him striking a woman who was on the ground during an altercation involving his sister.
Not good. Not good.
Not good. I mean, can you remove, you know, your sister? I don't know. I didn't see the video.
It's kind of crazy how that's been. I feel like for most stars and Pro Bowlers, you hear all about their past history. I feel like nobody talks about Jeffrey Simmons at all.
I guess he was in high school, right? Yeah, this is bad. So when you say that it wasn't indicative of his character, he means for last year, not throughout his life where he's had just issues, plenty of them, you know?
Yeah. That weird. I can't. I don't know.
Hey, 2021, he was fined for a low hit on Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, roughing the passer. That's football. It happens. 2022, he was fined for hitting Ted Karras from the Cincinnati Bengals. It just says he was fined for hitting him. No details there. 2023, altercation and fine against Odell Beckham Jr. resulted in both players facing fines. Okay, so 2020, you ready for this one? A game against the Ravens, Marshall Yanda said he spat in his face. The NFL found no visual evidence, and Simmons did not receive a fine. Simmons did not directly deny the accusation when questioned about it. Okay. And today he shoved his star quarterback in the face.
He guess he hates everyone.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he even... He's in his 20s. Like, is he... I don't know. Is he trying to just make money and get booted out of the league? Is that what it is?
I'd hope not, because...
He just turned 28 in July, last month, just a couple of weeks ago. He turned 28 years old.
That's young for NFL.
It is.
Ages.
It is. Oof. Hey, good luck to that guy. Okay, I'll just say that much. You keep on shoving the star quarterback in the face, you ain't going to have too much of a job anywhere. Embrace love, people. Embrace love. Be loving, less violent. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we're going to talk about, well, violence. We got people throwing bats in the minor leagues. I've been telling you this for a minute. We're going to get into, unfortunately, what's going on with Zach Wheeler. Blood clot in his arm. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Unfortunately, we talked about this is not the violence you want. Not against your own quarterback. We talked about Jeffrey Simmons from the Tennessee Titans. Like, kind of shoving his own QB, shoving Cam Ward in the face. Like, that's a no-no. Can't put your hands on the quarterback. No matter what's going on. And so Jeffrey Simmons, we went down his historical rabbit hole. I mean, he was arrested in high school for assaulting someone that apparently was assaulting a woman that was assaulting his sister. I don't know the details, but yeah, he's unfortunately out of history. He's not afraid to put hands on anybody. But let me tell you this. You talk about crazy things over the weekend. When's the last time anybody talked about Victor Robles? Answers never, 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 never. And so he's out here rehabbing in a game trying to get back to the Mariners. And he feels that he was hit one too many times. Joey Estes was pitching to Victor Robles. He's on assignment right now. Had a bad shoulder trying to make it back to the majors. And he was almost hit. After he's been hit five times in 15 at-bats on this particular assignment. And so he had enough. He was almost hit, and he decided to hit back. He took his bat, and he threw it at the pitcher. Thank God it didn't hit him. That would be at that point, you could... Botch, at that point, can't you sue somebody for assault? I mean, you probably don't want to if you're a baseball player. But you can be charged for assault swinging a bat at somebody.
Yes, arrested, suspended, banned from the league if it hit, made contact. It's kind of crazy how you just, he flipped the switch.
Well, he felt that he got hit too many times. Listen to this courtesy of Bally Sports.
And the first pitch from Estes. Swung on and fouled off on a pitch that hit him. He picks up the bat and throws it at Estes. He's been tossed. He is yelling at Joey Estes, and now he runs towards the mound. Both dugouts empty, and they're trying to keep cooler heads prevailing. Here come the bullpens. And we've got a little fracas in between the mound and the plate. I don't know the last time or if ever that I've seen a batter throw the bat at the pitcher.
And something just got tossed onto the field from the Tacoma dugout.
That's Robles throwing stuff. He threw an entire bucket of sunflower seeds down the third base line. My goodness.
Now things begin to get a bit seedy here.
Yeah. So he hasn't been punished. Here's the key word. Yet, you think about where we currently stand in the season. This guy is trying to come back from a dislocated shoulder. He may not come back until next season, if at all. He's probably going to be gone the rest of the year. And so he had a response to this. I mean, you can't just throw a bat at a guy and think that you won't get a, you know, some type of response. He went on social media and he said this. I want to take a moment to sincerely apologize for my recent reaction on the field. I let my frustration get the best of me, and I understand how that may have affected not just the game, but the energy and respect we all work so hard to maintain. Bacha, who wrote this? His agent wrote this?
ChatGPT.
Oh, ChatGPT, you're right. Here we go. It's getting interesting now. Coming off of a long rehab and being away from the game for most of the season has been physically and mentally challenging. Adding to that, the recent passing of my mother has been incredibly hard, and I've been doing my best to hold it together. That's not an excuse, but some context I feel you deserve to understand where I'm coming from. Okay. All right. I think we all go through things. That doesn't mean that we go out and assault people. He says, getting hit. Now we're getting to the real part. Getting hit 5 times and 15 at-bats added to that pressure, and I reacted in a way that I am not proud of. This game means the world to me, and so do the people who play it. I respect every one of you, my teammates, the opposing players, and everyone in this league. He says he's committed to being better. Bocce, he blamed the passing of his mother.
Don't put that on her.
Right, I don't know. Well, we're all stressed. I got stuff to be stressed about. I mean, just, you can't, in that moment, was he thinking about his mother, or was he thinking about all other times he got hit?
All the times he got hit. Especially when, I'd be more mad because it wasn't even a hit by pitch. It was a swinging strike. So it's like, you just got hit for no reason.
Well, maybe if he didn't swing the bat, he probably would have got hit, you know? And then he got hit by the same guy, Joey Estes, hit him already. I can't recall the last time. You know what, to be honest, and this is kind of crazy to think about, I don't think I have ever seen somebody, like, hit somebody with a bat at a professional baseball game. Have you?
Like, physically go up to them and hit them with the bat?
I've never. You seen somebody throw a bat in the majors at somebody?
Clemens to Piazza. It was a broken bat.
Yeah, but that's it. And it wasn't Piazza who threw the bat. He threw the piece of the bat. Clemens just lunged it at him. He lawn darted it.
Other than that, the helmet. Bryce Harper threw a helmet.
Yes. Helmets get thrown every couple of years. I don't know. Maybe people feel if I throw my helmet, it's not going to be seen as violent as me just using a bat. And that's kind of... I think that says something to the guys who are out there playing, right?
You have respect.
Well, yes, you have that much respect that you know, like, I'm not going to commit a crime. I'm not going to take my bat and start swinging it at somebody. I feel like when you start getting into the minor leagues and you get outside of the majors where there's so much more on the line, and now we're starting to think about regular guys with regular jobs who are one step away from, you know, going back to regular life, they probably are regular. I think they're more prone and apt to be violent. Like what we saw last night, could you see that happen? It's never happened in the majors. Is it a coincidence it happened in the minors?
What's crazy is that both players have been in the majors.
Right.
And Victor Robles, was pretty good last year with the Mariners when he was healthy. So it was just, I can't.
He would not do that at Safeco or whatever the hell they call it now. He wouldn't do that out there.
Oh well, because he'd be done forever. It'd be, if this wasn't in the minors, he would have been catastrophic for the, not just the league but for him, because it'd be main attention. I think if it was anyone who cared about real Major League Baseball in the major leagues, they'd see this. He's gone. He's banned. And Manfred got the answer for it. Now it's just, oh, it's an incident in the minors nobody cares about.
Yeah, he'll be gone the rest of the season. He's done. It's August 18th. He ain't going to play again the rest of this year. And that's just the warning shot for the rest of the season. So he's out here rehabbing. Well, bro, you got plenty of time to get healthy until next season. Good luck. That's not the rehab assignment that you wanted. But when you really think about it, nobody's fighting in sports at all now anyway, right? Basketball players ain't fighting too much money. They are not throwing away that money. NFL players really don't get into it the way I even think that they used to. Baseball players get to pushing and shoving, but we haven't seen, I couldn't even tell you the last brawl. Like, what, we had one guy on the Reds, didn't he try to fight a whole team one time? Was that recent?
That was Amir Garrett, and I think that's got to be at least 7 years ago already.
Oh, my God.
Because he fought, it was against the Cubs, I think it was.
Yeah, he ran straight across. He was about it. He went to the dugout, bruh. Went to the dugout. He went to an enemy territory, wanting all the smoke. So, nah. People don't fight anymore. They don't fight in football. They don't fight in basketball. They still fight in hockey. And that's to be expected. So, hey, if you're Jeffrey Simmons, do everybody a favor. Stop hitting your own teammate. And if you're Victor Robles, take anger management. Do that. And then speaking of baseball, people not hitting each other or hitting anybody. Being out as well, Zach Wheeler. We have no idea how long this guy's going to be out. He just had surgery to remove a blood clot near his right shoulder. This guy's ERA is sub-3. It's like 2.6, 2.7. He is the ace for the Phillies. They still got 70-plus wins. They just better hope that he comes back before the end of the season. What's the deal with everybody's clotting? Basketball players getting these clots in the legs. Damian Lillard getting a clot. You got pitchers getting clots in their arms. And we heard Rob Manfred say, oh, well, it's all about the travel. Is it really? I don't know. Like 20, 30 years ago, I didn't hear about anybody getting all these blood clots. I just, are the guys too big? Are they too fast? Are they too strong? Like, what's the deal? I don't know. Botcher, are you sad? Well, no, you're not sad. How do you feel about the development of Zach Wheeler? Could you imagine if this guy was still on the Mets?
I couldn't, because, of course, the Wolpons weren't going to pay him. So once he became a free agent, he was gone. It hurts to see him on the Phillies, but his development into a consistent top three Cy Young candidate every year, it's just sad to see him go down with a blood clot. And you really, I don't, like you said, it's the last 2 years now or 3 years, it's been blood clots everywhere. It's just, I don't know.
It's blood clots, Achilles injuries. It's something in the water with the athletes, and I don't know. And it's tough. You think about a professional athlete, well conditioned in every way. You don't think about a blood clot, but I think maybe travel has something to do with it. Overtraining. I just, like, why does Victor Wembanyama? Why did he have a blood clot in his arm? I don't know. Why? But he's tall, long, and he travels. He's sitting on a plane all day. I'd assume so. I don't know. It stinks. Rob Thompson, the manager of the Phillies, he talked about when we might see Zach Wheeler back on the mound. Who knows?
We don't know the timeline, and I'm thinking a lot about Zach and his family because it's not a hamstring injury or something like that. So. But I feel good about the depth that we have. If we have to go to a six, it could be Painter, it could be somebody else. We've just got to carry on. We've got to step up.
Oh, yeah. Well, but we got to step up. We got to carry on. We got to step up. Yeah, it would be a massive shot to the Phils if he's not available. Now, that much, I think, goes without saying, hey, I'm going to Google why all these athletes are having these blood clot issues. Look at me going to Google to be the doctor, but I am. We'll talk about that. We'll get into a few things that took place this day in sports history. A matter of fact, and how the hell do I know? I trust our listeners, some of them, the ones who make sense. We've had doctors call up. We can get a doctor on the air. Hey, Botcher, maybe we get a doctor tomorrow to talk about all these clot issues, huh?
Blood specialist, or are we doing, like, cardiovascular?
It's fine. A doctor? You don't got to be a heart doctor, does he?
Well, a pediatrician. I don't know if they know everything about these clots.
We don't want to ask a three-year-old's doctor about this. We'll find a good doctor to give us some information on some of these injuries. We'll do that tomorrow. I'm going to look things up in the interim as well. We'll come back and talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. But right now, what's the time for? A newsflash. Here he is, Pete McCarthy.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Thank you. I'm going to need an umbrella when I leave this damn studio. I didn't realize it rained. I don't know when. It shows how deeply involved I am with the show. I guess that's a good thing. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we're going to share with you a few things that, damn, man. Botcha, I got conned, man. What is this? Watching it? You see this commercial during the game?
This is a Fanatics commercial?
No, Sonic.
Oh, I have a commercial of a dude in a car wash eating pretzels.
Yeah, no. They showed this burger, man. I'm like, damn, I need that. And then you get the burger and it's all sloppy and crappy and they don't. Yeah, the food advertisement is great. The people who make these things and stylize the food, they make a lot of money for some. I was just say some teenager. No, just for somebody to slap it together in the back.
Yeah, it's not real food, though, in the commercials. It's all like pre-made. It's like not meat. It's like.
It's fashion.
Yeah, it's not edible, the food they show in the commercials.
Okay, all right. It's just for show. Anyway, hey, I looked up all this athletes and getting these blood clots like Zach Wheeler. It makes sense. This sounds real crazy. One of the reasons outside of travel, repetitive motion. Athletes in sports with repeated arm motions, like pitching a baseball, can develop thoracic outlet syndrome. This occurs when muscles built up in the shoulder and chest area narrow the vein, leading to clotting. Basically, you got so many damn muscles that you're constricting the blood flow in your arm? That's crazy.
That happened to Strasburg.
Yes. Well, it's Strasburg, Matt Harvey. Yeah. That's crazy. You think about that. I don't know. The body is so resilient to everything. You would think that it would make up for, I don't know, just having too much muscle. But I guess not. I don't know. Victor Wembanyama. Nobody told him to be 8 feet tall, long-ass arms, sitting on a plane all day. Damn, what does Wembanyama on the plane look like? What do they take out? 3 rows so that guy can sit comfortably? I don't know. Damn. 888-710-4ISN. Hey, good luck to him on his return. And Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, Wembanyama. Yeah, Damian Lillard, who ended up with a clot as well before he ripped his leg. It's just the athletes are doing too much. Do something in the offseason. Get another job. Not that these guys need other jobs, but deliver some milk or something. You know, go work in the post office. He's just shooting basketballs and throwing balls all day long. He's too much muscles. And take a load off. Anyway, it's the end of the show. You know what that means. It's time for a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. How about this day? August 18th, 1958. Oh, wow, this is a cool one. We had some boxing. We had a heavyweight title match. We had Floyd Patterson. He knocked out Roy Harris in the 13th round. Yeah, we don't get to 13 anymore. People be dying out here. Unfortunately, that'd be terrible. And this took place at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles. Yes, there's a Wrigley Field in L.A. Anyway, listen to the knockout.
And there they go to the corners after the 12th round. The fight has been stopped. It's all over. Floyd Patterson remains king of the heavyweights after a bruising, exciting battle before 17,000 fans. Floyd Patterson, the smooth and relentless stalker, had a battle on his hands tonight as Roy Harris, the pride of Cut and Shoot, Texas, does himself proud.
Yeah, you like a throwback, huh? If you remember that, I'm proud of you. 1958. August 18th, 1982. Damn, Pete Rose in 82. Sheesh. He set a record, God rest his soul, with his 13,941st plate appearance. Yeah, Pete Rose played forever. He played against a lot of people, too. Listen to what he said about taking on so many damn pitchers, Hall of Fame pitchers. This is what he told Haro Sports.
But there's some really good pitching out there today. But the overall pitching, I don't think. We used to have a road trip where we played 9 games and faced 7 Hall of Fame pitchers.
Yeah.
That's a tough-ass road trip.
You think? And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, I faced the Nolan Ryans and the Juan Marichals and the Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Bob Gibson. I mean, those are all Hall of Fame-type pitchers. So, and they got Hall of Fame pitchers today.
Yeah, well, let's go from one great to another. August 18th, 1983. It took almost, well, a month. The Kansas City Royals beat the Yankees 5-4. Now, this was no ordinary game. This was the restarting of the famous Pine Tar game where George Brett hit that home run against the Yankees. And they said, nah, bruh. The ump said, you got too much pine tar on the top of that bat. He says, no. Well, the Royals, they disputed what took place, and they came back and won. Like a month later. Listen to this, courtesy of MLB.
And that may do it. Frank White over to John Watson, and the pine tar game is over. The Yankees are 3-up, 3-down here in the bottom half of the 9th inning. And we'll have the totals and the recap for you in a moment. The final score, the Kansas City Royals 5 and the New York Yankees 4.
Yeah, you heard the Yankee fans doing what they do best, booing. Booing a loss. At least they're not booing the Yankees, okay? August 18th, 2016. Usain Bolt, yeah, fastest man alive, fastest man ever. He went out there and he won the 200 meter. He also won the 100 meter. He's the best. Listen to him win the 200 in 19.78 seconds.
Bolt got it up and going very quickly. He picks off Lemaitre. He picks off Martina. Merritt and DeGrasse are going to try and latch on, but he straightens up a long way in front, the big man. Running well, Alonzo Edward. Bolt is in front. We are witnessing history. The great champion adds to his legend. He wins the 200 and beats DeGrasse in 1979. This is a moment in time, a moment in sporting time that we will never forget. It was never in doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that was down in Brazil, Rio. And Usain Bolt, he could do everything except for, I don't know, play soccer. Not good. Now, could you imagine if he could? Oh, my God. Busting everybody's ass out. They just beat you down a pitch. August 18th, 2021, some recent history. Uh-oh. Braves fans not going to like this. Freddie Freeman, he hit for the cycle for the second time in his career as the Braves. This before he left and took the money in Los Angeles. They beat the Marlins 11-9. Listen to this, courtesy of Braves Radio.
He's had 3 hits tonight, and he's hooked all of them to right field. That's why they're playing him to pull. And he sends a drive to center. He may have done it again, Ben. Back goes De La Cruz. He leaps. It's gone! Home run! Cycle time for Freeman.
Yeah, listen, that guy's a pure hitter. We're talking about people going to the Hall of Fame, not Russell Wilson. You talk about something else, Freddie Freeman. that man's going into the Hall of Fame. And he's going to cry and cry and cry some more. And that's not, well, that's not history. That's taking a look at the future. Bacha, how many tears is he going to shed? He's going to talk about Atlanta for the first 30 minutes and he's going to cry and cry some more.
Yeah, he's one of the most emotional MLB players. Yeah, especially with everything he's been through.
Yeah, don't bring up Atlanta. I'm glad his family's doing good, though. That's a good thing, his son doing better. And there you have it, folks, a few things that took place this day in sports history. Here's some modern history for you. The Bengals are beating up on Washington 28-14. Third quarter just underway. A bunch of backups. They probably got Joe Burrow back on a private flight at this point. Who knows? Anyway, thank you so much to Patricia Traynor for joining us to talk about the New York Giants. If you've missed a minute or a second of the show, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We're going to get to the bottom of these blood clots to see if somebody gets a new contract. We got so much to get into. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief everywhere. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening. The JR Sport Brief show is done on the Infinity Sports Network. Catch you tomorrow. But don't move. You want to know what's coming up next? Bart Winkler. Stick around.